The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
It will never not be funny.
I didn't watch it. It's so good. Even watch it this time, Cameron Kennedy. You can't hurt me if I don't see it.
Welcome back to Kinda Funny's Jurassic Park in review. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes. I'm joined by the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Top of the morning to you, Tim. F you, Cameron Ken.
The nitro rifle.
It's his birthday. Andy Cortez. Nice.
Hello. Happy birthday, Ken.
It'll be my birthday soon too. And guess what I'm gonna get on my birthday? Just fucking that thing over and over again with a crack sound on my lower back, which has happened before.
And it is also Christmas in April. Joey Noel.
Hello.
And making his first appearance on this show, but he'll be here for the rest of them. It is the one and only Big Daddy Greg Miller.
Cameron Kennedy, I want you to know it was a rough weekend, and that intro brought me and Jen endless amounts of joy. We did rewatch that many a time to laugh.
I can't count how many times I've watched it. Like, I watch a lot of the interview intros a lot, but like the fact that it was also made into a TikTok and stuff with Nick's reaction, like, oh, it's a beautiful thing.
The worst
thing
was when I showed it to Danielle, and she was like, she's like, oh, this is her reaction. And she goes, oh, it's funny because you're old.
She's right.
Yeah, she dunked on me.
Of course, this is Kind of Funny's in review, where every week we rank, review, and recap different movie franchises. Currently, we are doing Jurassic Park to lead into the third Jurassic World movie, with a small break in between the Park series and the World series to go back to the MCU for Doctor Strange. You can watch the show on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. If you want to get it as a podcast, just search your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny in Review, and we'll be right there for you. If there is a movie franchise out there that you are interested in hearing our thoughts are on, chances are we've already done it. So please go check that out. If you wanted to get the show ad-free and watch live as we record it, I need you to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Just like our Patreon producers, Molecule, Fargo Brady, Pranksy, and Anonymous have all done, we appreciate all of you so very, very much. Today, we're brought to you by MeUndies and Maple Story. But I'll have to tell you all about that later, because we got to get into it, everyone. The Lost World, Jurassic Park, a.k.a. Jurassic Park 2, has a runtime of 2 hours and 9 minutes. There is roughly 50% more dinosaur action in this one than in the first movie. First movie having about 15 minutes total. This one having a little closer to 23 minutes of dinosaur action. Released on May 23rd, 1997, after the original novel's release and the first film's success, fans pressured Crichton for a sequel to his novel. Following the book's publication in 1995, production began on a film sequel that we saw here.
Blame them. Directed by, we have to blame them.
We have to blame them. Directed by Steven Spielberg once again, after the twin hits of Jurassic Park and Schindler's List, both in 1993, he took a rare sabbatical and didn't return to the director's chair until this movie in 1997. The shoot finished before the scheduled 74 days in classic Spielberg fashion. It was completed in 69 days, so shout out to you for that. But also, Spielberg's known for getting movies done earlier than planned because of his meticulously planned out shots and how that coverage can allow things to be done a lot easier when planned correctly. Music was done by John Williams, an American composer known for scoring 2002's Catch Me If You Can, starring Leo D. and Tom H. Yeah. This had a budget of $73 million. That was for you, Andy, and I didn't even get a fucking chuckle.
Who's okay? Tom H.? Oh, Tom Hanks.
Thank you.
Boxer, John Williams getting referenced for Catch Me If You Can. That's where you're going to bring him in. Okay.
Starring LDC and Tommy H.
Just because you couldn't keep up with how the kids are calling the actors out there. Don't take it out on T. Hanks. Don't take it out on TG, all right?
I never would. I love SLJ really cool as well.
Thank you. What's really up, Kev?
Cool. I thought it was really cool, Tim.
I appreciate you, Kevin. Thank you, JGL. Budget of $73 million, a box office of $618 million. It had the biggest opening weekend up to that point, beating Batman Forever. Additionally, it had surpassed Mission Impossible for having the largest Memorial Day weekend ever, as well as three opening records held by Independence Day. So Jeff Goldblum raking in that cash, everybody, in the 90s. The Lost World broke several other box office records as well. It took the record for highest single-day box office take, $26.1 million, on May 25th, a record held until the release of Star Wars Episode I in 1999, and then broken many, many times after that. It also became the fastest film to pass the 100 million mark, achieving the feat in just 6 days. A fun fact for you that I feel like you'll appreciate a lot, Nick. The director Steven Spielberg had to attend an early screening for Swingers in 1996 in order to give approval for the use of the Jaws theme. He was so impressed by Vince Vaughn that he offered him a part in the movie.
That's pretty incredible. I do remember Vince Vaughn being in this, being like, huh, that's cool. That he showed up in a Jurassic Park movie back in the day because he wasn't that big back then.
Yeah. Hey, Greg, you missed this last week, but Nedry was Newman from Seinfeld. It was a similar situation where Spielberg saw him in a movie, waited to watch through the credits to find his name because he's that's our guy.
Saw him in Basic Instinct, which was only in one
Where Sharon Stone flashes the old woo-woo.
I read an article with Wayne Knight on that too, where he was like, I got this random part, and when I was auditioning, I didn't realize that they wanted just my type. It was typecasting basically, and he was like, I wouldn't have taken the part, but whatever. It was like a 1 day shoot, and then lo and behold, Steven Spielberg told him years later he read it that got him, you know, Jurassic Park, which launched his career pretty much. Which is cool.
Ridiculously cool. Greg Miller, you weren't here last week to talk about Jurassic Park. So now I want you to talk about The Lost World.
Fuck you. God damn it. What a thing to miss a perfect movie and then come to this.
Just you missed the one good one.
Yikes, man. Tell you what, I remember not liking Lost World, but not remembering much about why I didn't like it. It's one of those movies I watched once, probably in the theater. I was a kid. We were all super stoked about Jurassic Park the first time around, and then come to this one. Is something wrong with your hat, Nick? Was your hat a joke?
I got a little dirt on the brim of my hat. Nobody told me, Joey.
Joey, what the fuck?
Oh, so I'm on Nick's hat duty. Okay.
So to turn this one on and start watching, it's just like Jesus Christ. Like, what? What I. It's a movie with an amazing cast that has no chemistry at all. Zero. You're never going to follow up Jurassic Park, obviously, a perfect film. But to go from a film like Jurassic Park, a movie that is pure magic, and come to this one where there is no magic to be found in any situation, in any relationship, in most lines of dialogue, it's so depressing to watch this movie. And it keeps going. It doesn't stop. It just keeps going. There's so much of this movie, and you're like, just stop.
I will say, I told him this earlier. He was slacking me. He's like, this movie is so long. Just so everyone knows, Jurassic Park 3 next week, only an hour and a half.
Whoa!
That gets an automatic half star bump for me for being reasonable.
It's got William H. Macy, Taya Leone, a talking raptor. Let's go.
Joey Noel, what do you think?
Let me see. Let me pull up my notes. I do feel like this is just a forgettable movie. I just watched it and I still don't really remember anything that happened. I think, what did I say? Ian Malcolm, I think this solidifies that he's much better as a side character than a main character. He doesn't have enough to pull it on his own. And I think it's because, like Greg said, Julianne Moore, great, not great in this movie. Vince Vaughn, also not great in this movie. They just don't have a lot of...
Toby from The West Wing, great. And he's not great in this.
Who else was it? The guy from all the Dark Pictures, the little Puppet Master guy?
The curator?
Video games?
The curator.
Yeah. Oh, no?
Are you thinking of the guy from The Big Lebowski who gets eaten by the little dinosaurs? Or are you thinking of the main hunter?
Something. Maybe he was in Until Dawn. Maybe that's
what I'm thinking. Touchstone for him, The Big Lebowski? Because my touchstone is the bad guys from Bad Boys 2 and the crazy cosmonaut from Armageddon.
I would give you the cosmonaut. I wouldn't have been able to pull Bad Boys. And you're right. He might be. I think he might be in Until Dawn.
Yeah. I don't think the bad guys are fun at all.
Sure.
this isn't fun. I don't feel like there's like any real tension with the dinosaurs. It doesn't really feel like there's any stakes in terms of like, I don't care about these characters, so I don't really care what happens to them for the most part. And the fact that the last 20 or 25 minutes is in San Diego just feels very weird.
Shout out to San Diego. Let's finally, let's get some San Diego action in there. And again, this is, you know, I feel like as a kid who, you know, we bought all the Jurassic Park toys. You know what I mean? I would play in the games. I'm the one of the people who forced Michael Crichton to do this and then forced Steven Spielberg to do this. And all we wanted, yeah, was let's see these dinosaurs tear up a city. You know what I mean? And they just give you a fucking 30 flat fucking minutes in San Diego. Like, it's fun when the parents yell, I guess. You know what I mean? But then, like, he's chasing Japanese tourists through the street. Yeah. You're like, all right. Like, oh, God.
Andy Cortez.
Yeah, this movie's a stinker, man. I've seen this movie a lot, though. Like, almost as many times as the first one. Because as a kid, I thought it was good. I liked it a lot as a kid. I think about the top-down shot when the raptors are enclosing on their position. What a cool moment that was. I think about... I guess that's it. I guess that's fucking it. It really bums me out that Jeff Goldblum is all of his quirky eccentricness is completely removed to become the main character. That sucks. Like, he's just like main guy, generic main guy now, with a couple of decent lines here and there. This movie isn't 100% bad, but it's still not anything that I'd ever want to watch or recommend watching. There's just a lot of dumb shit happening in this movie, but terrible logic, terrible decision making from a lot of the characters. It's just kind of a bummer. It sucks that this movie, like, if I was Steven Spielberg, I would have pawned this off on someone else and be like, no, it wasn't me.
I was shocked. I didn't remember. Obviously, I was a child. So when it popped at the end, it was like directed by Steven Spielberg. I thought it was just going to be a produced credit. And I was like, he directed this?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
The guy that ends up directing 3 was really fighting to direct this one, and that didn't end up happening. And then eventually, when Steven was like, "I'm not doing 3," they're like, "Okay, cool, you can have it, Joe, whatever your name is."
Yeah,
Nick, what did you think?
Yeah, that's about it.
I think it's important to know, and you probably have it as a piece of trivia, Tim, if you haven't said it already, that Steven Spielberg's only directed two sequels to his original works before, and it's this and Temple of Doom. Not great at the old sequel game, old Stevie Spielberg. But this movie, I think, was just kind of, you can feel that it was rushed. You can feel that it wasn't Crichton's best work. It's definitely a money grab. And you can see that just in general, just in the title alone. The book was called The Lost World. Not The Lost World, Jurassic Park. And it had the emblem. And at least Michael Crichton and the book publisher trusted people to just kind of put two and two together, read the fucking back of the book where it said the acclaimed sequel to, you know, to Jurassic Park. But in this one, they're like, we don't know if people are going to get this, so let's call it The Lost World Jurassic Park. Why not Jurassic Park 2 called The Lost World? Doesn't that make more sense? Who cares? Get it out. Let's get it fucking done. This movie couldn't be less exciting for all the reasons that everyone's talking about. I don't care about the characters. And if I don't care about the characters, I don't care that the characters care about the dinosaurs. The subplot of Vince Vaughn being this sort of like environmentalist trying to take care, how dare you try and kill this? I'm like, it's a fucking T-Rex that's trying to kill you twice, and you took the bullets out of this guy's gun. Are you out of your fucking mind?
Yeah, like, that's such an act one move before they try to kill you, before you're in the fight of your life, not like,
and before you're just killing raptors and like cheering about it. Like, it just makes no sense.
Yeah. It's totally just all over the place. I don't like any of the characters. Like you guys said, it needed like 3 or 4 more rewrites. The idea of going back to the island to save the dinosaurs is a fascinating idea, and I'm glad we never, ever see that again.
Dude, the idea that, like, Pete Postlewaite is just a complete waste in this. Like, he's great in everything he does, and he's just another waste of a character in this movie. It's such a big bummer. I think about, I mentioned that scene. I think a lot of the dinosaur sequences I kind of enjoy, mostly because they're just nostalgic for me. It's just pure nostalgia when we talk about, like, yeah, 9-inch skull dome or whatever, and then he knocks the dude through the truck, and
that's fun.
There's a lot of like cute moments like that, but it amounts to nothing. It's just here's some new dinos in new CG. That's really all it kind of is. And then when she fucking kicks the velociraptor with her
gymnastic
moves. Oh my gosh.
It's they just cut like, you from the team?
I mean, you, Greg, not a bad line right though. Like, yeah. Like they cut you for the team. Not a bad line, not a bad delivery from old Jeff Goldblum, but, it's like, but still stupid as moment. Hell.
There's yeah. so few of those. Like the other one I liked was Toby when he gives Jeff Goldblum all the instructions on how to go down from the bird's nest or whatever. And then he just goes, and he's like, I would have squeezed a little bit harder. Yeah. Like that's a fun line. But yeah. then they got it in their head that repeating dialogue would be hilarious. So like the entire trying to find Sarah in the beginning of like Sarah of Vince Vaughn and Jeff Goldblum.
Jason.
And then later on when they're hanging in the bus, hang on to something. What are you fucking doing? Like, why is this isn't playing, guys? This isn't playing.
Would they do the burger order? Oh my god.
Oh my god. Got three yes. double cheeseburgers and whatever.
Just fucking no, drop them all. Drop them all.
Just kill them all. That line wasn't terrible. It's the fact that all three of them said something. Like,
yeah, you that's guys why need anything
down
it.
There? Yeah, I'll have a double burger. And then Vince Vaughn's like, with cheese. And then Julianne Moore's like, add a Diet Coke. I'm like, oh my god.
Shut the fuck up.
I want you all to die. All to die.
Yeah, yeah. Starting with Julianne Moore's character, who legitimately is one of my least favorite on-screen characters I have ever wow. seen. Like, honestly, Jar Jar, I'll take him any day over this shit. Whoa! Like every single thing wow. she does, I'm just like, whoa, how the fuck is this a real human being that's supposed to be smart? Like, she's supposed to be the smart character in all of this stuff, and I hate her relationship and chemistry with Jeff Goldblum. It makes absolutely no sense. The fact that she is his motivation to get back on the island, like, we just watched the first movie last week. We know how scary that whole situation was, how injured he got. He went face to face with the T-Rex, and you're telling me that this is how easy it is to get it back on the island, let alone the fact of this, the entire premise of why they would need to go to the island in the first place. Oh, there's a second island? Like, this is sequel the movie to a T, right? For all the wrong reasons. Andy said it's a stinker. I am right there with him. Like, this movie is a stinker.
It's being a kid of the 90s. Stinker, man.
Yeah, dude. And it's so sad because the first one was phenomenal. 10 out of 10. We talked about that for hours last week. But
you should have been here, Greg. It was great.
Yeah. It was so good, Greg. It's so good. Movie. But the thing about this one is it's like, at the end of the day, it is still a movie, a 90s movie with dinosaurs. So I think that for as much of a stinker as it is, I didn't hate watching it. I don't really want to watch it again anytime soon. But like, there are still enough things like the raptors going through the tall grass where I'm like, all right, this is really fucking cool. Like, I'm totally into this. And I stand by the trailer going off the cliff scene specifically because of the way it's shot. It feels like a Steven Spielberg set piece. Getting there sucks. The story reasons why they're there, the baby T-Rex in any way, shape, or form, such a stupid plot, and I fucking hate it. But the way that entire scene is
so
shot
so many times.
I know.
But it's kind of broken, Timmy. We need to take care of him, get him over here. But I'm like, what?
If you're just why? Andy Cortez.
I just wanted to say that when, like, obviously they have great sound design, and like they take all these samples from all these, you know, animals in real life and give this movie kind of it makes it feel real, right? The way the T-Rexes sound, everything sounds very natural sounding. But when the baby T-Rex is fucking in that little thing with the tape around his mouth, it sounds like Nick doing his baby impersonation. It just sounds like, like, it doesn't, it sounds like a human making a noise, and I hate that. And as soon as they take the tape off, then it sounds like, it does like more of an animal cry, but when it's in there, it's like,
yeah. The problem I have is that the whole scene, the trailer falling off the cliff, that whole thing belongs in the first movie. And I don't just mean that in terms of like, oh, plot wise or whatever. I mean it in terms of like it, the things that are good about it are as good as anything in the first movie. Everything else that's bad needed the rest of the stuff that's good from the first movie to like really make it hold up. What I love about it is the dude that ends up dying in the Jeep that's trying to save them.
Toby.
Like, he goes from this character that we just legitimately do not give a fuck about. And throughout that scene, by the time he dies, you're bummed out. And I think that that is cinematography. That is the use of Spielberg kind of making us care about somebody through camera work, through movie making and movie magic. And then it's just surrounded by so much bullshit. And it did get me caring when Julianne Moore was on the glass. Like, that shit's iconic for good reasons. Like, I kept saying last week that Jurassic Park is iconic. There are so few iconic things in this movie, but I do think that scene stands up despite actively trying to not and to like fuck it up at any fucking left or right that they can take. Another thing I like about the movie is their commitment to being like, you should be scared of all of them, even the little ones. The first movie did it as well. I love starting the movie with this and like having them attack little girl and not seeing it. I remember being terrified of that when I was a kid. And even now it still had like some residual effects of PTSD where I was like, oh shit. And I was like, oh, they're going to come back and they're going to fuck people up later. That shit's cool. That is really all the positives I can give to this. I think you guys know I'm a sucker for score and shit. The score sucks in this movie. I'm sorry. How did you ruin the Jurassic Park theme? They did it. They found a way. Life finds a way. Ruined the score in this movie. Finds a goddamn way.
Yeah, I agree. I think the movie,
the whole movie is just a bummer, man.
It's just a bummer. Like, and that's the thing too, is even with even the way the movie shot, the island's not as pretty. Most of it looks like it was like, I mean, I think most of it was shot like near woods. That doesn't even look tropical half the time. Like,
I mean, you can just get down to the fact of like, I mean, Jurassic Park, you watch now, and I wasn't here with you guys last week, but I assume you're on the same page, that Jurassic Park visual effects holds up. It looks great. You watch this, and the CG looks so bad because, of course, they're like, oh, we don't do practical anymore. Computers will take care of everything. Yeah, and when they do the fucking practical little guys all over the fucking thing, it looks terrible.
Well, the practical stuff I thought was fine. It's just the fact that they felt the need, because it's a sequel, to take it up a notch, like Tim talked about at the beginning. Putting in 6 more minutes of CG dinosaurs in this is a lot more money. And man, it stands. The first dinosaurs we see, which should be this wow moment of the Stegosaurus coming over the top, but it's in this little like weird gully and they just look so fucking fake. It's just underwhelming.
And I really hated the puppet moment of the Velociraptor breaking in through the glass, and you could just tell it's a hand in a head like trying to break into glass. It looks so terrible. It looks so bad. Are you ready for the theme song?
Last thing I want to say before the plot is one of my bigger criticisms of the movie overall is that for as nonsensical as the plot is, it feels like there's 20 to 30 minutes of this movie missing. In between this movie legitimately ending, you could have rolled credits and been fine and it would still been a stinker, but whatever. We then go to San Diego. There's an in-between where it's like, how the fuck did we get here? That is truly, truly bizarre. The enemies in this movie fucking suck. Andy, hit the plot.
Welcome to Jurassic Plot. And you can start, Nick. Oh, is it Greg?
It's me. It's me.
Okay, cool. You can start, Nick.
Now I know what everyone was thinking. This is a little precursor to the plot. I know what you guys were thinking out there, Nick. Is the lysine contingency gonna fucking come back?
They did it, everybody!
And they did it. Not one person, not one single person in the comments of our Jurassic Park in review fucking remember that the lysine contingency comes back at the beginning of this movie. Not one of you, it was 8 of you, fucking reminded me that I forgot that this was in this movie. Who cares? I blanked this whole movie. Anyway, we're going to talk about Jurassic, The Lost World, Jurassic
Park
2.
That's not your fault, Nick. That's their fault for remembering.
Exactly. You know? What the hell did you guys do with your fucking childhoods? I was out there watching that movie. I was watching the 89 Batman instead of this fucking movie. Isla Sorna, 87 miles southwest of Isla Nublar, but just a little left of Isla Greg Sucks. A rich family drinks some champagne while their daughter gets eaten alive by campies, which were dinosaurs, by the way, in the first Jurassic Park, worth noting. They made a note of that, and they just come back in this one, but they didn't put them in the movies. This jungle is super scary. She gets bitten by all of them, and it's horrifying. Actually, though, fun fact that I'm surprised you don't have this trivia, Tim. She actually doesn't die from that. She actually just gets bit a lot, walks a couple more ways, snakes right to the fucking eyes.
Oh, damn, man.
Every single
snakes
time.
A real villain.
I appreciate
snakes,
that.
Snakes are the villain in this. Because that dude would rather get eaten by a fucking T-Rex than deal with the fucking snake for a second.
And plus, it was a milk snake. Red and black, friend of Jack. Red and yellow, kill a fellow. Like, it's not going to poison you. Get over yourself, dude.
I appreciate they set up this British family to be just a bunch of douchebags, so we don't really care. You know what I mean? Like, it sucks their daughter gets eaten or gets bit a bunch, but, like, the parents just suck. And, like, when the mom goes over to make herself a food or a drink or whatever, and, like, she won't pour it, she calls the servant over. And then when the daughter screams and they all run to one point in the sand and stand there and call her rather than fucking sprint to the problem.
Well, he just, like, the dad just looks up from his newspaper while she's screaming, like, oh, what is that? Like, no movement whatsoever until they eventually get up.
And Joe, would she have grown up to be shitty? Probably, right? So,
yeah. Nature versus nurture. Hard to
tell him young. Let God sort him out. We cut over to Ian Malcolm, who gets recognized in a train by a douchebag because now he's world famous. he heads to Hammond's house and is greeted
by... Wait, did you see Eli Roth on the train?
Was Eli Roth on the train?
Yeah, I didn't. It's not. I don't think it's a. I don't know if it's. I don't know what his deal is, if he's an extra or whatever. But yeah, he's standing along the pole.
Interesting. Mm. This is my first indication I'm not gonna like this movie because, to Tim's note, Jeff Goldblum the double shirt. Jeff Goldblum, the cut hair. Jeff Goldblum. He doesn't have the swagger. He's not wearing the watch. The leather jacket's there, but it looks like it's a different leather jacket. It just the whole thing just doesn't work for me.
I mean, undercover a little bit.
Can we just appreciate for a moment that like Jeff Goldblum was trying to tell us something? Like the first time we see him in this movie is very early on. And what's he doing?
He yawns.
He's just yawning.
Yeah.
They transition from the screaming girl into him yawning. And I will appreciate, and it was obviously a choice that they did this, but I do appreciate the shot behind him. There's like he's in a subway and it looks like he's on an island, but he's not an island. He's in a subway thing. And I was just like, oh, you're doing something, but I don't know.
And then Casey Jones talks to him. What's up with this guy? What's up with this dude thought he had the brightest career ahead of him? Like
he's like, hair. I get one shot and I'm giving it 120%. And he did.
Oh yeah, there's Eli Roth. Reminds me of Brecken Myers in Clueless. That's a pull for Joey and Joey alone. He heads over to Hammond's old house, and he's greeted by Reginald from Spider-Man and the kids from the first movie, who are now all grown up. And I'm like, oh, I kind of like these kids now. I hope they're in the rest of this film. Nope, they're not. Ludlow greets him and makes fun of him for spilling the beans in Isle of Nubar despite having signed an NDA, and now everyone thinks he's a crackpot. Hammond, as it turns out, is incapacitated, so the board of InGen is about to burn the whole thing down. Or are they? Thank God for Site B. Isle of Nubar was a showroom, if you didn't know. Isle of Sorna is where all the animals were bred, except for those animals we saw being born on fucking Isle of Nubar. And despite the fact that they said all the animals are born here, it doesn't matter. I guess that
what Site a fucking good point, Nick. Holy shit, yeah.
Just for the tourists, Nick.
Retconning all that shit.
You got him, dude. You got him.
Don't worry, everyone. Isle of Sorna is with the animals. Don't worry. It doesn't matter. Hurricane Clarissa wiped out the facility on Site B, and now all the animals have escaped, and they're running wild. By now, there's a complete ecological system. We don't even know what's on that island. Can I talk you into going there, Greg? Are you talked into going there yet?
Fuck no.
Of course, Ian Malcolm, rightfully, because he remembers that one second when he was fucking like his leg was hurting and he was sizzle chested out about those two dudes across the fucking room talking about the lysine deficiency. He goes, what about the lysine deficiency? They're foraging. He says, oh, don't worry about the lysine deficiency because all the fucking plant eating animals ate lysine plants, and then the carnivores eat them. And so it's totally
life
fine.
Life finds a way.
Like, found a fucking way. The carnivores, whatever, doesn't matter. And he goes, we're not going to make the same mistakes we made before. He goes, no. You're making all new ones, which is true. He's like, listen, we got a
crackpot.
But again, you're doing
the Jeff Goldblum thing, and he's like at 20%.
Yeah, he's not full Jeff Goldblum.
He doesn't ever go, yeah.
It really stinks, man. It bums me out that they just took away all of the personality.
I don't think they took it away, Andy. I think Jeff Goldblum just has to bear the full fucking weight of this stinker on his shoulders, and it would weigh anyone down.
No, it's like, it's you know, now you're the main character. You can't
you
just
play
be
the straight
that,
man.
Yeah,
but you can't be like, the only movie that can pull that off is like a Tim Burton movie where Johnny Depp's got scissors for hands. You can't do this. He's got to be the straight guy in this because he's the only person in this movie that reacts like a fucking regular human being would. Everyone else is like, oh, a T-Rex? I'll take a picture of it. I'm not going to run from it.
Nick, but think about how much more fun you and I are when we don't have to be the main host.
We're so cool.
You know, we're way funner. we got so zingers cool. left and right. That's you don't even know what we're going to do. And then when we're the main host, we got to be straight lays, read the ads, thank
the
sponsors.
Put the tie on.
It fucking sucks, dude, you know?
That's why I won't do it. I refuse to bring back Greg.
Real quick, I just want to say to this point about Jeff Goldblum. I hate it because they totally downplay him. It's 20% of who he is and all this. And it's like, what is there? Like, oh, don't worry, though. We're going to give you something. We're going to give him a shitty family. Like, great. Now we have to deal with the fucking kid. Our least
Here's
favorite
this
thing
kid
about
who
these
he has
movies.
No chemistry with.
At and, all. And then this girlfriend that, oh, Lord.
Well, and not to mention that it's even weirder thinking about the first movie of like, he has a kid and a family, but like, has interacts with the first movie kids like he's never seen a kid before. And that doesn't really make any sense. kind of like it.
Julianne Moore, he meets on the set for the first day as they're filming. Like, all right, cool. You guys are in a relationship.
And also, the fact that he has to find out from John Hammond that she went, and she was just like, oh, hey, by the way, I just knew that you wouldn't want, or you wouldn't come.
I know unless... this is a super PTSD kind of thing for you. Yeah. And I know how much it fucked you up because I talked to you about it, but I
gotta
go. My
God, are you kidding me? Listen, I love my wife. I love her beyond anything on this fucking planet. But if I spent 4 years telling her the horrors that I witnessed on this fucking Jurassic Park island, and then she went there anyway, I'd be like, you're on your own. I'm not going there. You're a grown-ass adult, and you made this choice. And if you come back with half a fucking skull because a T-Rex decided to use you as a gumball, that's on you. I digress. They put a team together of people that you think you would like. Vince Vaughn. We got the dude from West Wing. Toby. And then we got Julianne Moore. I'm like, what a banger cast. You're going to throw Jeff Goldblum in there? How could this possibly miss? And then, of course, his daughter shows up. You're like, oh, okay. We got to have a kid in this. And then Hammond tells him about Sarah. So he's like, oh, my God, I got to go. I got to go save her. I'll call her and tell her not to go. But, of course, she's already there. Hammond outthinking everyone. The old man has lost his marbles, but he's not that far off step. He goes, listen, I love this. I do like this one line because Hammond's kind of insane. He goes, if you want to leave your name on something, fine, but stop putting it on other people's headstones. It's a cool thing for someone.
It is cool.
It's a cool line. That's a cool line.
And then he goes, and then he's like, it's not a research expedition anymore. It's a rescue mission. Fucking cool. Then
good movie, dude. Here, and it's weird. Yeah. It was badass.
Ian meets up with Eddie and Vince Vaughn, who is wearing a really big sweater and is really into women from Greenpeace. Ian's daughter comes to hang out and calls someone named Karen a troglodyte, and I just hear
Greg laugh. Yeah, because she doesn't even have Sega.
Exactly. He lies to her about Sarah because apparently he can't trust kids in this. I'd have been like, listen, I'm going to get Sarah. It's a very dangerous environment where there's animals. Please don't. Please, for Christ's sake. Also, dad of the fucking year, you left without saying bye to your daughter? She was just hiding on the bus for like half a day. You just forgot about her? What are you doing? All right. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
PTSD.
We established that he's not with the mother anymore, but that the daughter actually likes Sarah a lot. So anyway, Kelly, I think is the daughter's name, takes in all the high-tech gadget stuff and goes, you know what? I'll hide out here. Spend more time with old dad. What could possibly go wrong? The head of the island, it's way uglier than Nublar. And again, something that it just is. Like, this whole movie is, I think, purposely shot dark and supposed to be gloomy and ominous, but it really is not fun. It's just kind of, I don't know, it's like a cloud hanging over the movie itself. The dude from West Wing has a blow dart gun, and Vince Vaughn argues with the boat captain because the boat captain doesn't want anything to do with the island he affectionately refers to as the Five Deaths.
Which is dope.
It's something. It's something.
Cool.
It's something.
I think it's cool.
We'll just say it's something. This is the first part where I go, man, this island looks a lot like Muir Woods. And then I looked it up, and yeah, like 40% of this movie was shot in Muir Woods. I'm like, cool, that makes sense. They find Sarah's backpack, and it's all messed up, and she's got her sat phone in it, which explains why she doesn't answer. We have one throwaway line where she never answers her phone. And then a herd of stegosaurus walk by, and they look really bad. And everyone kind of reacts like they're really bad CGI. Everyone's like, this is the first time two out of the three characters in this scene have seen dinosaurs, and they just go like this. Okay, that's it.
How did nobody see Sarah? I'm so mad. I fucking hate that. I, as a 7 or 8 year old,
so
was
distracted
like, this
by
is
the dinosaurs.
Stupid as fuck. Like, this person, how did she not hear them? How, like, oh, that's the worst.
We do get one great Jeff Goldblum line here where he goes, ooh, ah, that's how it starts. But later, there's running and screaming.
And screaming.
Yeah. Turns out Sarah just an inch off screen the entire time. Just yeah. It is like if I just looked. Oh, there's Tim. Right,
you completely ridiculous. For me?
Fucking ridiculous. And the torn backpack, Greg. Great question. That's just her lucky backpack. It
lucky backpack.
Like that. Of course, her boyfriend wouldn't know that. He would never know that her backpack always looks like that because he is just completely fucking oblivious to everything. She figured out how the animals survive without lysine. They ate more plants, and then they got eaten. Oh, that's where they got that. Then she sneaks up on a baby stegosaurus while Vince Vaughn films it, and he goes, man, I'm going to win a Pulitzer Prize for this or a Nobel Peace Prize or whatever, and this little thing is fucking cute. Sarah's camera freaks out because this is a great little touchstone. This is actually a real film camera that has a mechanism in it that rewinds the film when you're done, which you guys have probably never seen in your life because everything is digital now. But then a herd of T-Rexes come. I wrote that part before I saw the next part. Was I right? No, you weren't right, Nick. Nick tries to to smoke a dart, but Sarah stops him because she's like, they have highly olfactory senses. And he's like, oh, God forbid we offend one of the dinosaurs that shouldn't be here anyway. Ian tries to tell her how much danger they're in. She calls him the predator. And he's like, what the fuck? I would have just left this part.
Yeah, that was a pretty messed up line.
Yeah.
It was I'm still like failing to see what
their chemistry,
what kind of couple, yeah, dynamic they have, because it seems terrible.
And remember, though, like she says at one point, she'd settle for trying to get him into a cab. Like he doesn't come see her. Is what I took away from that line. Like,
yeah, they're protecting their baby. So am I. Like, if you would have told me that they've been divorced for 4 years, like I'd totally believe it, because it just doesn't seem like they like each other.
Mm-mm. And I get it. She's miserable.
Yeah.
But why would he risk his life to go rescue somebody he clearly doesn't like, let alone love?
There's a lot of societal pressure that if your partner goes somewhere and they're going to die, even if you don't like them that much, you got to go get them.
You just got to go.
Like, that's going to reflect badly on him when this breaks. They're like, oh, she died. Sarah died. Weren't you dating her? Yeah. Oh, man, must have caught you off guard when you found out she was there, right? He's like, well, I found out days before she got murdered.
I could have gone. I had the flight book, but I canceled it.
Oh, fuck, don't you have, like, firsthand knowledge of how to fight dinosaurs and stop? I'm like, yeah, but I didn't want, I got a daughter here that I was visiting.
He's still a chaos theorist. He's, like, not qualified.
It's been bad for his job. It's been bad for his job. Yeah, it's been
The Padres were in town, you know? San Diego, I don't know.
That was good.
Thank you.
They head back to base camp where they find a fire. Surprise, Kelly's there and she's cooking him dinner. But of course, the fire is like, that's a bad idea because it's going to bring all the animals out anyway. Sarah comes to her side and apparently no one grasps how much trouble they're in just yet. Ian can't get the sat phone to work and nothing's really happened so far in this movie. This movie 100% needs way more Nedry. I would literally pull Sarah aside at this part and tell her the story of Ray and his severed arm. But apparently she doesn't give a shit. Sarah tries to
Sorry, did I miss the introduction of like the bad guys yet?
No.
Okay.
That has not happened.
No, they're coming up right now.
This movie would be so much better if Ray Romano was in it. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Or at least also, his brother. What's
like a future... Ray. That's what he sounds. Future question for the rest of the movie. Does anybody take off their shirt?
No.
I don't...
Jeff Goldblum,
at the very end, when he's passed out, his shirt's a little bit open, kind of as an homage to him laying down in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, okay, I'll wait till then.
This is going to sound like, I'm not trying to body shame Jeff Goldblum in this, though, but he's definitely like didn't work out for this, so much so that he had to wear the double, like the t-shirt underneath the button-up, which I know was a sign of the times in the mid-90s, but like, let's put it this way. 3 years earlier, fucking three buttons down is how far he went with that shirt, right? He shows up to the island.
And there was only two buttons on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me know when we get to that
long
part.
Walk off a short pier. Let's see. Sarah tries to throw it back in Ian's face that he never shows up for stuff. And again, I would regale them about the story of Gennaro who got eaten while taking a fucking shit. I'll be back in 5 or 6 days. He'll be back in 5 or 6 pieces is what he said. And then they spot a bunch of helicopters from InGen, but Hammond didn't send them. It must be Pete Postlewaite, who, to Andy's point, very underutilized in this film. You know why? Because the film I saw him in last before this was The Usual Suspects, which is fucking terrifying. Okay. And he was so terrifying in that movie. And in this one, you're like, he's still cool in this. Don't get me wrong. Like, I think he might be the coolest character in this movie, but underutilized.
So this is what I wanted to get to, is this guy here. I didn't know who you were referring to, but yes, it is in fact this Pete Postlewaite guy. His entire plot is the most 90s sequel thing ever. He's like, these motherfuckers got T-Rexes. I'm going to hunt it.
Yeah, I got to hunt
when he first
one.
Says it, you're like, no. Like, there has to be something more than this, right? Like, it can't be literal. It's a metaphor for something. No. Like, he actually wants him versus a T-Rex. Yeah. That's his entire plan. It's like, is this a superhero movie? Are you a supervillain? Like, what the actual fuck? Like, I would understand it in a later movie, in like a Jurassic Park fucking 17. We totally jumped the shark. This is what's happening now. This is the second movie after the first one we just saw. And his entire plot is, I'm going to hunt that thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's underutilized. I would say it's just misused. Like, you have such a cool actor, and even when he's on screen, I enjoy his acting. I enjoy the line delivery. Awesome. I enjoy his dynamics with the other people and kind of like, hey, I'm the goddamn boss here. Don't try to, like, cross me. I enjoy the vibe of him as being the villain, but it's just the dumbest character. Like,
Did you enjoy when they just pull the pin on exposition for him? Where he just like lays everything fucking out to the guy that hired him, got him on the boots on the ground, and then they're going to negotiate on the Jeep. And he's just like, here's literally 2.5 minutes of me.
You didn't do this beforehand?
Dude, I'll tell you what, though. For as much as I fucking want to criticize this movie and this team, these dudes rip through the landscape as they hunt down these dinosaurs, and it's kind of exciting. I'm not gonna lie, they're like darting them and shit, and like one of the guys has the cool chair.
I had the toy where the little chair came out. Yeah. It was so cool.
Kevin and I had the Ninja Turtles party van that did the same type of chair thing, yeah. And like we would fucking pretend that Ninja Turtles were fighting dinosaurs, which is way cooler than this movie.
Yeah,
it's one of those things, like, just to go back and to talk about this character, Roland, stark contrast with the character that's exactly the same from the first movie, where he was, remember the first thing we hear the other character say, the first time we see him, or the second time we see him, actually, when they're like, oh my God, you got raptors, and he goes, they should be killed, every single one of them, because he is the one who's, like, warning everyone, like, look, I have experience with this shit, we're way out of our depth here. I like that character a lot better. Anyway, Roland gives all the dinos nicknames like Elvis as they dart away. It seems like a pretty good party to me, if you know what I'm talking about, Greg Miller. Wait.
It's a fun joke here where he's trying to read off the pages with all these stupid dinosaur names that some stupid egghead caught up on. But now he's like, you know, I'm going to do the colloquialisms here. I'll have it so my other guys know what's up.
Sarah's beside herself at how poorly the animals are being treated, and this is the first sign that I hate this movie. Roland spots, and she's like, how could they do that to all these dinosaurs? I'm like, there's like thousands of dinosaurs in this island. I get it, you don't want to see animals mistreated at all, but like, still, no sense of danger here. Okay, cool. Roland spots a T-Rex track and gets super horny. Dieter shocks the skull off a little compy as Roland heads deeper into the devil's lair and spots a baby T-Rex. So they snatch up the baby T-Rex because they don't want to fucking play on his turf. They want him coming to their home turf. And man, this thing fucking howls. They sneak over to Ludlow's camp, and Ian figures out that they're going to take all the animals off to the island for profit. I don't think we've had that beat yet, but anyway, thankfully, Nick's like, that's why I'm here. I know the fine art of sabotage. And his idea of sabotaging is to let all of the dangerous dinosaurs out so that they will trample through this camp of people who have been hired to come here and kill all of them and destroy all their things. Very strange plotting on his part.
There's some undercuts here at Greenpeace, because this is what Greenpeace would do. They wouldn't care about the pandas raging against the people out there, and that's what they, you know, any means necessary.
Is that why Greenpeace must be
technically
stopped?
We're on their territory, so
it's true.
Home court advantage.
We also put them on that territory, so it's both of our territories.
It's bad. Like, bears on
and what if they just Gatling gun all of the dinosaurs? Like, what did you achieve here, Vince Vaughn? You know, so weird.
Well, he does have one of those camera from the 90s that I kind of always wanted, where it's like the box.
A little flip.
Yeah, and it flips out.
It's
pretty cool.
Anyway, he's like, I want to film all this for posterity.
Kevin, are you ready to bring it up? Thank you so much. If you guys could look at this. I was looking him up to make sure it was the guy I was talking about, and I noticed something that made me laugh. So I just liked it to Andy to see if it was worth sharing, and it made him laugh. So I just want to direct attention to the children section of Pete Postlewaite's Wikipedia, where it just says children, two, including Billy.
Yeah. That's important.
When was the last time somebody edited this?
We need to go in there and clean that up a little bit.
Man, he was only 64 when he passed away. That's crazy.
Forgot him.
Oh, here we go. We get the next beat here, of course, of Ludlow showing everyone the concept art for the amphitheater from Jurassic World, which we'll see later, which is important. Then dinosaurs burst in and ruin the whole thing. Apparently, their idea was that Ludlow's like, why the fuck would we fly everyone out to Hawaii when we got a SeaWorld right in San Diego, and everyone's already used to seeing all these giant animals in captivity and super depressed, and it's horrible. Please don't go to SeaWorld. And then they're like, we'll just put this amphitheater right next to him and put a fucking T-Rex there. What could possibly go wrong in San Diego?
Pretty cool plot. Like, I feel like if the movie focused more on that,
it would have been very fascinating. It would have been actually like, I wish this movie, now that you're saying it, was just the fact that they were like, we're going to open Jurassic Park San Diego.
Yeah.
People get stuck in that park in San Diego and then the animals burst free. That would have been a lot more fun
awesome,
going back to the island because,
how
much this island's boring.
Like, I'd believe it if you told me that something happened budget-wise or some shit and, like, they had to completely change their plans. Because that sounds like what could have been the movie, and it feels like it just wasn't super well thought out.
I don't know. I mean, it was based on the book,
on so Crichton, Crichton, right?
Yeah, whatever Crichton wrote was what they did here. I never read The Lost World.
Yes, okay. I haven't either. I was hoping you did, Nick. But from what I was looking at, it sounds like people did not like that book.
I honestly think it was rushed, and I'm not even kidding when I say this. I think it was just a money grab. I don't think that Crichton wanted to write it. I think
March 1994, he announced that there would probably be a sequel to both the novel and the film. And then by March 1995, he announced it was almost done.
Wow.
So like a year turnaround is like kind of quick.
Yeah, it's pretty quick for a book of especially for, you know, a follow-up to Jurassic Park, which was a phenomenal book. Anywho, we go back to where it all began. That's right. Nick frees the baby T-Rex and Roland gives Dieter some shit. I'm just, you know what, guys? I'm fucking... Can we stop here for a second? Greg?
Hey, everybody. We're doing a full stop. We need a full stop down, everybody, right now. All right? Cameron Kennedy, stop making music. Andy, flex a bit. Let's have a stop.
Andy, let me see the triceps. Show the kids what they're missing.
What's a tricep?
Exactly, a tricepitops. What I'm going to say here is this.
That was your Billy this episode, Nick. I want to let you know.
There you go. 43 minutes, 24 seconds into this. Yep. Mark that.
Oh, speaking of, before you continue, let me tell you about our sponsors.
I thought we did that already.
Did we?
Not yet.
No, we didn't. Shout out to MapleStory for sponsoring this episode. After 17 years of rich MMO gameplay wrapped in a unique 2D side-scroller, MapleStory is ready to proudly lean into its cute, pixelated aesthetic. The aggressively cute campaign aims to showcase the unexpected juxtaposition of cuddly, smiley characters with rich, multi-layered MMO gameplay. The campaign focuses on telling a story of immense character customization, a vast array of weapons and mounts to choose from, a seemingly endless horizon of lands to explore and battle, all while dealing huge amounts of damage to monsters of all shapes and sizes. I know a lot of people out there love MapleStory. So hey, come check out this armed and adorable campaign. This is your world. With over 40 classes and thousands of cosmetic customization options, you can play how you want. And there's just so much good stuff. 18 years of content, no signs of slowing, means you'll never get bored. You can go to maplestory.nexon.net. That's maplestory.nexon.net for more, or you can just click the link in the description. This episode is brought to you by MeUndies. I love MeUndies. You guys have heard me talk about MeUndies for years at this point. I'm always wearing the MeUndies shirt, the MeUndies lounge pants, the MeUndies undies, the MeUndies socks. I can go on and on and on. If MeUndies putting out a product, chances are Tim Gettys is wearing them. The MeUndies membership is literally designed to make your life easier with free shipping and returns on every order, savings on virtually everything they make, exclusive sales, and early access to their newest stuff. There's kind of no reason not to join. Get super soft undies, bralettes, or socks shipped directly to your door and live a more comfortable life knowing you always have what you need at your fingertips when you step out of the shower. MeUndies has a great offer for all of you. Any first-time purchasers, you can get 15% off. For a limited time, if you sign up for their free-to-join MeUndies membership, you can get 25% off your first membership item. To get 25% off your first membership item or 15% off your first order and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindafunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindafunny. Now we're back.
I thought we always do that before the plot. No.
Listen, we've called this guy the dude from Bad Boys 2. We've called him the fucking cosmonaut from... At this point, can we just call him Peter Stormare? Stormare? I can't even say the last name. Fuck it. Go back to calling him the dude from Bad Boys. Forget it. I was trying to paint some... Stormare? Let's call him Peter Stormare. That's his real name. We got to respect this guy because he's literally in every fucking movie I've ever watched. Anyway, Nick brings the baby T-Rex back to Sarah for some help because its leg is broken. And Ian and Kelly try to reach land, and they can't do it. Now, we've had so many instances here. I just point it out for a future, for my future criticism, of Ian desperately trying to reach land on this phone. The phone being an incredibly vital and important thing in this world because it is their salvation. Keep that in mind. They decide to set. They got to set this baby's bones. Otherwise, it won't be able to run like the other animals. And later in the line, probably 8 to 10 weeks from now, it might die. Kelly freaks out and wants to get high, so they go up to that weird cage. Which prior to this, Ian referred to as prime biting height.
But he was joking because that would be like a Vegisaurus. That's the only thing you can get up that high. T-Rex.
He didn't get to learn that whole thing, though. He missed out on that history lesson. He was damaged goods while everyone else was in the tree.
You don't think they recast him at some point? They didn't give him a recap. And also, he's seen a T-Rex. He knows how tall a T-Rex
is. I hate how proud they are of this thing. Like, they introduce it, and it's like, it's the high hide. You go up high, you hide. Cool name, huh? High hide. High hide. Yeah. And then to have Sarah, the daughter, be like, I'm scared. I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. I want to go somewhere high. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, it's just terrible writing, dude. Yeah, that's awful fucking writing.
Where are you?
And Greg brought this up earlier, but the fact that it all kind of just results in Jeff Goldblum kind of falling, yeah. Like it's like a da-dunch. Like what?
I want to squeeze just a little bit harder.
Funny line. It's a cute line.
No, it's funny, but like the fact that it really felt like so much of that was set up to like separate characters, which I understand for tension purposes, but then to result it in just kind of a weird joke that made me laugh. But I don't know that I'm looking for laugh moments in a movie like this at those moments, right? Like, I don't know. Continue, Nick.
Also, has that ever occurred to you, like, if this was a real world event, that somewhere on that island, that cage would still just be up in a tree? Weird, right? Anyway, yeah, then they see it. They hear the telltale roll of Mama T-Rex coming in. Ian's like, oh my God, I got to call down to Sarah and Nick to warn them that this fucking massive man-eating monster is coming toward them. But of course, the phone just rings and rings and rings, and they don't answer it. Not for lack of
hearing. There's no time. They need to save this T-Rex baby.
We have to set the bone on this T-Rex, or 7 to 12 weeks from now, it might die. Oh my God. In this situation, if I called one of you and you didn't answer the phone, but you had full capability, again.
This is on you.
Kiss your ass goodbye. I'm not coming to save you.
Hey, at one point, yeah, I mean, give up. I understand their whole gimmick here is that they are the tree huggers, all right? She's a don't fucking step on a rock. You might set off a turtle, and then that'll make that lizard start talking. I understand the anger effect? Here. Yeah, that's what she's mad about. That's what she's so worried about. I'm like, oh, we're going to change the environment of this place we put them on and did all these things to. It's like, we got to drop the National Geographic shit at some time, all right? We got no phones. We got no cell phones. We got no regular phones. We don't have phones that plug into cars. We don't have phones.
Go for it, Greg.
We got to get out of these dinosaurs. We got to fuck these dinosaurs over, all right?
On top of all of that, it's a baby Tyrannosaurus Rex. Like, if it was like, oh man, it's one of the leaf eater dudes, the homies, and like, oh, he's a little baby one, we gotta save him, he's so cute, whatever. Like, I understand this T-Rex admittedly looks really cute, and Vince Vaughn holding him, I was very like funny. I like this, and believable. I think they did a good job with the animatronics and all that stuff, with the exception of Andy's Nick baby noise, which I totally agree with.
Oh, that.
But just like when he's holding him, I'm like, I believe this is a living creature. And like, again, movie magic, it takes you out of it a lot, and it's cool, or it takes you into it a lot. But you're saving, like,
nah. But Tim, you gotta understand that's how they are, dude. Like the
Hippocratic Oath.
You talk about like the passion they have, and it's like they would save the lion that killed their family.
Yeah,
like the lion was just, the T-Rex was just doing what it's born to do, sort of thing. You know,
and you know, like, look, I'm sure that there's probably like some factual evidence against what I'm saying here. Like, oh, fool, if you look at the script, this actually happened. Or whatever.
Goes.
Vince Vaughn is like a fucking like videographer guy. Like,
yeah, what the fuck does he know about it? Anyway?
Buy that he is like down for the cause, and if a lion killed his family, he'd be like, I'll save the lion. Like, no, her, maybe there's something wrong with her. But like Vince Vaughn is just like, he seems like he has a passing interest in National Geographic. Like, he definitely has a subscription.
You did the Greenpeace thing for the chicks.
For the chicks, yeah. That was what I was going to say. He doesn't care about anything.
That's the thing. It's like, come the fuck on.
But then they recognize him as like Earth Alive. They recognize him as the guy from Earth Alive. And they're like, the people that do the blah, blah. And he's like, no, we're environmentalists. Fuck you. Like, he said, fuck you in my version. I don't know about you all.
No, yeah. It wasn't mine. Mine was PG-13. Uh-huh. Anyway, it's not just, guess what? Ian rushes back, but it's too late. Mama Rex is there, and she's pissed. And it's not just Mama Rex, guys. That wouldn't be enough. This is Jurassic Park 2. We need twice.
Two Rex.
It's Mama Rex and Daddy Rex. Two Rex, two furious. They take muzzle off of the baby Rex, and he screams like, at this point, I put in the script, Andy, could you please scream? Could you give me the scream?
Oh, the T-Rex?
Yeah, the baby T-Rex.
Baby T-Rex.
Perfect. That was great.
Thank you. Then they give him back to his parents, and everything seems pretty okay at first. And Eddie calls and tells Ian that T-Rex are headed back to the jungle, even though I'm like, are they? Because they're not. They're actually right there for no reason other than I can only assume that the T-Rexes are the most vengeful of all of the dinosaurs out there. They combine forces to push the van just a little bit over the cliff. Not the full way, Greg. They're like, we want to fuck with these people and let them dangle off the cliff, because these Tyrannosaurus Rexes are genius Tyrannosaurus Rexes.
The way you said it.
Mommy's very angry.
Watching everyone just suffer. Hang on to your butts is what they should have said here as they're going over. Nope. They said, hang on to something. What a missed opportunity, guys. Steven Spielberg, call me the fuck up. I'll write your next stupid Jurassic Park movie. Sarah falls down under the windshield. Of course, that is one of the images that I remember from this movie, to Tim's point. And you kind of hope at this point they all die. But nope, Nick tries to grab the satellite phone. It fails and falls through the window. Yada, yada, yada. Listen, Tim thinks this is great. He's gone. I'm going to have my piece. This is the worst fucking action scene in any of the Jurassic Park movies. It goes on for so long.
And well, Rick, before he sits down, because I don't even want to hear a shitty answer. What was he fucking saying that this should belong to the first movie? Like, what is he? What did he fucking smoke today?
I think it's only iconic because it's the only thing that's memorable in this movie.
What did Geo pack in the fucking pipe today?
The shit is dope as fuck, man. It's so cool. It's Spielberg at his best. It's just cool. Needed a better story to back it up.
Fucking boring. They fall so many
times. It's not boring at all.
No,
it's just the glass
breaking on the thing is really cool. The fucking bag landing. Can I get one more take at the baby T-Rex sound?
Okay, no, I'll set you up again. They take his muzzle off and he roars. It's very low but good.
So
that
low.
Was really wow. Good.
Yeah, the mic. The impressive gate on the breath mic. Control on that.
That was great. Anyway, long story short, Toby from West Wing gets eaten. And I'm actually kind of sad about that because I'm like, well, I like this guy. Anyway,
worth calling out one more time how terrible the double cheeseburger whole segment was.
Very, very
horrible. Bad. Fucking horrible. But Greg, what I was trying to say is if this was in the first movie, they wouldn't have had lines like that. Like, and I stand by that.
Sure. That's
like,
fair.
Those characters acted like there was actual sense and logic to everything they said and the way people reacted 90-something% of the time in this movie. That is the opposite of true. So I feel like if this was in the first movie, it would be 10 out of 10 perfect. But because of all the bullshit, what should have been a 10 out of 10 moment was brought down to probably like a 6, but it was still really exciting.
Agreed.
Shit. That's perfect. let's see. They all fall again a bunch of times. Anyway, long story short, they end up climbing back up. And who is there to meet them? But it's all Roland and his team. Let's see. They get
got to work with the bad guys who aren't that bad. It turns out.
Not that bad. When they get back to camp, Roland tells them that they destroyed all the comms equipment. You fucking idiot. So they're all screwed. By moving the baby into their camp, they've changed where the T-Rexes roam. Everything is messed up and everyone is in danger, says the hippie who only has 3 lines in this whole movie.
Do you know who the hippie is?
Character. No.
He's the guy who plays Mox's dad in Varsity Blues. And I bring this up because he looks so dramatically different and bald in that. Like, clearly this is a wig or whatever. But Thomas F. Duffy is the man we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. Thomas. If you're a Varsity Blues fan and you watch this movie, I just blew your mind. Melissa Hagler says, no way. Ha, ha, ha. See, there it is.
Oh, shit.
Any relation to Patrick Duffy?
I'll get back to you.
I hope so.
Is it a wig?
I don't know. Andy's dropping the fucking ball. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Wicked House Carpino. This guy gets eaten. I love it.
Trust me, I opened up the file. I don't know why it's not working.
Ludlow knows of an old communication center, and they can head over to you to call. It's a day's walk, but there's one problem. What is it? Velociraptors. Also, they most likely still be hunted by the T-Rexes too, because they got a taste for vengeance, and now mommy and daddy want dessert. Saddle up. Let's get this movable feast underway, is what Roland says. Then, the more music plays, it all just seems out of place. Nick takes a quiet moment in the torrential downpour to bond with Roland, which fancies himself the second best predator on the planet. What's the first, Tim? That's right, the T-Rex. Roland spots the blood on Sarah's shirt, and you think at this point he's like, I'm a very, very established hunter. Now, I probably know that these animals can smell very well, and that's the blood of their baby on it, so they're probably tracking us that way. Why don't you throw that shirt out? And she's like, I don't know, it won't dry. The blood's just so pungent. I can't smell anything but blood. Anyway, Roland, Dieter tries to tell Carter he's going to take a piss, but despite hunting the deadliest predators on the planet, Carter has his headphones in at full blast, just taking a break. Like, they're not going to find me in this thick jungle. So Dieter goes over there and gets killed by a herd of campies.
Nick, would you give him, like, any sort of slack if he was listening to Obsession by Animotion?
100%. Oof.
Okay.
100%. I'd be like, you know what? You do you, Carter.
Is it a wig? I don't know. Wigging out with Scarpino.
What's up, everybody? A day late and a dollar short. Thank you.
Who are we talking about? Varsity Blues dad.
The Varsity Blues dad, who, yeah, he looks so different with this. I mean, that might have been his hair, actually, now that I'm looking at it. I haven't seen with the hat off. There's no way.
No, I can't imagine that, because it looks so natural in Varsity Blues. And Narsu was like 2 years later, according to IMDb. And then, like, yeah, really, if you look at him now, he's got a very similar haircut.
He also kind of looks like Joss Whedon a little bit now.
He does look like Joss Whedon a little bit. Not related to Patrick Duffy, not related to Patrick Duffy, but he does have his personal life bio on Wikipedia. Kind of dark, just letting you know.
Okay.
What was your
this guy then? I was going to ask if he was relating to Hillary Duffy.
No, it's Hillary Duff. That's a different thing.
Google it anyway. The campies eat him alive, and you're kind of happy for the campies.
I have a question about these little baby dinosaurs.
I wish a T-Rex would eat Nick right now.
Like, honestly, him saying Hillary Duffy is like the most upsetting thing I've ever heard.
The disrespect. While I was watching this scene, it did make me think that maybe the whole, like, would you rather fight one horse-sized duck or a bunch of duck-sized horses? Mm-hmm. Maybe the little ones is the worst one to go, because they can just like snip at you and bite at you.
Yeah,
and you die like a slower death.
Joey. You take it slow when all you do is roll around and scream. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you yank the one, you break the one. You yank the one, you break the one. You yank the one, smash, smash, smash. You know what I mean?
Do these have like claws like the velociraptors? Can they like.
Presumably they can latch on you. Not claws,
it would hurt you though. Yeah, like cat claws.
You know,
I mean, you're getting effed up. You're getting effed up, but you're getting.
It's like the bees in My Girl.
Exactly. Ugh. Except he was allergic.
That's so tragic. Thomas Jane's glasses.
Way more deadly.
He just wasn't horrible. Using like logic or anything. Like he never reached and grabbed one. It was it was like, I don't have hands that can grab things. Like, dude, they're on you right now. Roll over, grab one. Like, I'm with Greg, dude. I'd be way better.
But you're in a panic state of mind. I don't think.
But that's when that's got to be like, don't get me wrong. Do I want to be in this situation, Joey? Of course not. I think there'd be that moment of it would be freeing. I'm just like, this is cool because there are no rules now. There are no rules. The rules of society that have tethered me to this plane of existence are gone now. And have I ever thought about grabbing something by the neck and breaking it? Animal person artist, of course. But like, I wouldn't do it.
Animal person artist.
I don't know what that means.
I like to think in Greg's fantasy world, we find him and he's completely naked with like a loincloth on. We're like, did the campies do that? He's like, no, that was just preparation for this battle. Anyway, Roland goes out to find Dieter, but he's in pieces. And I love the fact that it's just a throwaway line. He's like, we found him, but it's not worth showing. And then
the parts they didn't like. I fucking love that. And again, I was saying, like, I saw this movie when I was a kid. It scared the hell out of me, these little guys. And this scene was the payoff to that. Like, the blood going down the river and all that shit. It was like, goddamn. Like, all of this, I think, is actually really cool. It's just when you're an adult watching it, you're like, why didn't you stop, drop, and roll, man? The golden rule.
Well, it's not only that, but I just think they missed an opportunity to actually have Roland. Because Dieter was, like, a second in command. So they had some sort of relationship, maybe third in command. I just thought that it was missing one scene where they come across his, like, body. And it's like, you see it. But it's just a throwaway line, which, whatever, it doesn't matter. This movie's long as is. They probably cut it for timing. Sarah realizes her bloody jacket has the scent of the youngling on it. So she packs up all her snacks for some reason and then hides in her tent as the T-Rexes approach. And they just sneak around, and Kelly wakes up and freaks out, but they're pinned down in their tent. And then Carter finally wakes up and starts screaming to fucking kill this thing. And everyone's
I also hate
out.
This scene. Would no one really wake up if there are just T-Rexes walking around?
What you have to understand is the T-Rex weighs probably a solid, 9 tons, 10 tons. They're very silent creatures. They're very, very balletic, right? Like, these things light touch.
Light on their feet.
Light touch. No, dude. Every time
ballet dancers, motherfucker
said balletic.
every time these things take a step in the first movie, go. Yeah. And by the way, if you time out their steps, they're for sure slowing it down, right? Because it's like go. So just imagine how the T-Rex is walking. Go.
It's really
go, right? Like, it's like, what's up with the time? No, these things would be incredibly loud walking in, but it doesn't matter. For the sake of this, again, I hope both these characters get eaten. Doesn't matter. Carter gets stomped out of existence. Roland,
I do like the touch, though, of the human body being stuck to the T-Rex's foot as he steps, and you see it kind of like fall off. Dope.
Kind of gross. Roland tries to shoot the T-Rex, but Nick, despite knowing at this point how dangerous these animals are, have Somehow he removed the shells, excuse me, the bullet, the actual slug from the shells, and then stuck the shells back into this guy's gun. Why not just take the shells out of the gun? I don't know. Maybe it's just to fool him. But man, Andy, this could have really killed Roland.
It's time for a brand new segment called Cam for Cam. Hit the song.
Cam for Cam.
Cam for Cam. I slacked you about this like 10 minutes ago. Go Did for
you?
It.
He also slacked me a picture
bam,
of Peter
bam,
Stromer.
Cam for Cam. Bam, bam, and Cam for Cam.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Cam for Cam, the podcast within a podcast where I ask Nick Scarpino, does he like Vince Vaughn, the cameraman in the Lost World Jurassic Park more or less than Hank Azaria, the cameraman in Godzilla with Matthew Broderick?
God. A year later.
Are you? That's not. I thought you knew me. I thought you knew me, Greg Miller. Hank Azaria. Banger of a job in Godzilla the next year. Love that. In fact, we should throw Godzilla into this mix because it's gonna house 90% of these fucking Jurassic Park movies.
Nick, that was the right answer, and that's been another episode of Cam for Cam. Andy, play me out.
Cam, Cam, bam, bam.
Oh man, everyone starts dying real quick here, and Pete Postlewaite, keeping his head real cool, grabs one of those massive blow darts and just shoots the T-Rex in the neck, right in the fatty part. Hippie guy gets eaten by a snake in his vest, and the T-Rex kills him in a waterfall. Then a bunch of mercs run into the long grass despite AJ telling them to stop, and then he runs in there too for some reason. And this is the only cool shot in this whole movie, because them moving and you can see the trails of velociraptors as coming toward them as they're about to get eaten alive is awesome.
Incredible.
And they all get murdered, and this scene is awesome. I wish the movie could live up to this, but it does not. Then Malcolm and the kids run through the grass too. He's just like, run faster. They're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Run these things. Oh my God. How are you going to have such an amazing, amazing scene? And then what's the solution? Run faster. Faster.
Which we already established in the first movie that these things can run at a land speed of like 30 miles an hour. So good luck getting through that tall grass, which of course is Greg Miller's favorite thing. Ian hurts his foot. So Nick goes on to the comm center by himself. He's like, time is money, baby. He sees a bunch of artwork from Jurassic Park and laughs. And then he fires up the power and calls Injun for help. All pretty easy. Then Ludlow surveys the T-Rex that Roland downed, and he just sees money signs. He's like, we'll make so much money off this thing. Then a raptor jumps on Sarah's back and eats her lucky pack. How will we beat them? With our brains, Tim? No. That's too simple. We need something a little bit more angelic, a little bit more gymtastic. That's right. We're getting to the best part of this whole movie. Sarah and Kelly trying to dig their way out of a shed, but a raptor just catches on. He's like, oh, I'm not fucking stupid. I can hear you. See you guys over there digging out. So he goes around and pops his head, and they're like, oh, no, we're stuck. And then Ian runs in to join them for some stupid reason. And then Kelly takes matters in her own hands. She's like, all these adults are idiots, and not one of you fucking idiots knows gymnastics like I do. So I'm going to pull whatever the spinny bar thing is they do and kicks fucking one of the raptors off the ledge. And then he goes, school cut you from the team. And I'm like, you're taking a second to have a quippy line. There's five other raptors out there, and I think two of them were actually in the shed, but they just kind of disappeared somehow. Anyway,
like what this needed more, like to make it even more dumb, is like have the actual padding on the floor and have her have chalk on her hands. Like, how is this situation so perfectly set up? You know, just, like, Andy, like I was expecting a raptor on the side over. To like. I wrapped on the side of lift like a 10, you know, like a terrible dude.
I love it. I love it. Sarah somehow gets separated. She makes her wake up at the ledge. Doesn't matter. She falls off. She makes the raptor fall. She falls in the middle and they start fighting. She gets away. They make it aboard. Anyway, Nick finally materializes. I don't know where the fuck he's been. He's like, hey guys, the chopper's this way. Come over here. And like, yeah, I see it.
This all sucks too. It's just like.
Like, where were you when we were screaming your name and this we were getting attacked by raptors?
Just this whole, it's like they just changed locations from one millisecond to the next. Like they're in danger and suddenly it's like, oh, big army building. Yeah, it's such a weird kind of transition. I hate it.
Don't love it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. They all get aboard the helicopter safe and sound, and it's kind of boring. Like they could have probably, like you wanted this scene to be them like, the last person jumping onto the helicopter as the raptor like nips and takes their shoe off. But instead, the guy's like, you guys aboard? Yeah, does anyone need any drinks or anything? You guys, some water or something?
Well, parched? There's also a moment here where like they're running into the helicopter and it's all like one long shot. And it is one of the first times because long shots, traditionally, the coolest things ever. And Spielberg movies, the coolest things ever. This is literally like why are you showing us this? Nothing interesting is happening this entire way through. We're all a little bewildered at how we're getting from one place to the next. And you're letting us sit and think about that this long. Like, it was not good at all.
It's weird.
Have we seen Ian Malkin's shirt, like, open chest yet?
You know, they save that for the end when he's passed out.
Okay, okay, gotcha.
Fair enough. Let's see. Helicopter ride, like we talked about. Nothing like the first one. Kelly is crying. Everyone is tired and sad. And Nick, for all we know, may or may not have killed Roland. Nope, Roland is alive. They captured the T-Rex. And baby, they're going to take it back where it belongs. San Diego. But Roland,
you should be excited. You did this for science. Yeah, but I lost the other guy. I've seen too much death and blah. What the fuck? Okay.
I believe. I mean, he does have a banger line here where he's like, you want to come back? We got a spot for you with a park. And he goes, no, thank you. I believe I've spent enough time in the company of death. And then just leaves.
Credits.
He's smart.
Oh, yeah. No credits.
Nope, okay. No credits. Mm-hmm. Over at InGen San Diego, all the investors immediately show up to christen Jurassic Park San Diego, even though it's 2 a.m. in the morning. And I don't know how much time has passed here because everyone has cleaned up and changed. So at least they went home.
They were so clean, dude.
And Ian got his car. Like, he was like, I got a car in San Diego. So it's weird. But Ludlow is alerted. Hey, something's wrong. They can't reach the ship carrying the T-Rexes because everyone's probably dead. Then the ship smashes into the pier and comes to a grinding halt. They come aboard. And this is where my brain really starts hurting.
Thank you. Thank you.
These people are all just massacred in these small, tight corridors of the ship. But the T-Rex, the only thing capable of killing these things, is still stuck in the cargo hold of the boat. So either it got out and they lured him back in and shut the cargo hold right as they were like the guy like his.
How did the severed arm get to the steering wheel or the yoke or whatever the ship?
How did the captain die? Like, there's no broken glass.
The baby T-Rex?
No, the baby T-Rex doesn't learn to hunt until the very end. There,
it's got a broken leg. Also,
like there must have been days or weeks in between this happening, right? Because I imagine it takes a long time for a boat to get from wherever they are to San Diego?
I mean, probably at least a day or a couple days. Oh, this guy's saying
Toby.
It's weird. Anyway, I it would have been fine if they were like, oh, we had a couple raptors on board and they got loose. But no,
that's what T-Rex. I thought they were building to. I had forgotten that. And then when they didn't, I was like, oh, okay.
It's weird how he killed everyone. Like, it would have been cool if they were like, we got him here. And then it burst, like they opened up the cage and it burst out and killed everyone. That would have been a lot more exciting. But instead, they were like, I guess everyone on this ship is dead. Like, whatever. They needed the speed to cruise control. Ending. Let's see. Back at it. Everyone's dead. Anyway, they go aboard. Of course, one guy's like, oh, I wonder what's in this cargo hold. And then Ian's like, don't do it. And the cargo hold opens up. And of course, like a jack in the box, the T-Rex pops out and starts wreaking havoc. Sarah has one line here before. He's just like, why did you wake up the T-Rex? And the guy's like, dude, we don't know what the fuck we're doing. Like, this thing went into a coma. We had to give it a shot of adrenaline, and now it's supercharged. Like, it's a dinosaur. We don't know how to do this. Let's see. Ludlow has the baby T-Rex, and Sarah gets an idea. Let's get the baby and use it to lure Mama away from Comic-Con. Now, to the casual listener, it might seem like I hate this movie, but it's all worth it to watch a T-Rex drinking someone's pool. This is the best scene in this movie. Why? It does remind me a little bit of Optimus Prime and Transformers.
Thank you. Thank you, Nick. You was going to get back to Transformers, and I appreciate that. But two,
I love, this is classic Spielberg. Kid sees the dinosaur. It's not that I tripped out about it. Goes to wake his parents up. His parents are having a bad relationship because they probably shouldn't have had this kid to begin with. Go like, fuck this kid. He sucks. Looks over, and the dinosaur leans his head up with the chain from the dog in the doghouse.
So sad.
Yeah, but it's a very well choreographed, but you don't have to see the dog die to know what happened. And then the parents freak out and the kid takes a picture, right? The kid's like, fuck you guys, I was right. Love this scene. The rest of it terrible. Sarah and Ian head to the secure facility where the he's like, like, Ludlow, where's the baby, for Christ's sake? And he goes, it's being held in a secure facility. Location. Which makes you think that maybe it's a secret secure facility. Nope, it's the amphitheater that says Jurassic Park on it. That's where they're holding this baby.
And, like, you guys know that I am a sucker for a fucking theme song playing as much as humanly possible. Again, I said earlier, I don't like the score of this movie. Every time they show the logo, they do the doo-doo-doo. And I'm like, you can stop. No, you can stop. Just fucking stop now, because that. This is not hidden. It never hit once this entire movie. And this time, when they show the fucking logo of the place, I was like, oh, my God, kill me.
They pull up and also, they throw... Go ahead.
So I was going to just give a shout out here to the most like fucking checked out guards of all time. Like a car speeding at the front gate and they go, slow it down, slow it down. And then they pull the guns on these guys. They're like, shoot us if you really want to. I have never met a security guard who isn't itching to shoot somebody. All right? They are fucking stoked. You break into this multi-million-dollar facility to steal a fucking dinosaur. This guy is green lit. He is up. Safety is off. He's yeah, stoked.
I'm getting calls
to splatter your fucking brains all in your own windshield.
Oh my god. Oh man, they throw this little baby into the back of Ian's cool 70s sports car and rip off. Meanwhile, downtown San Diego is going cuckoo for T-Rex puffs. All hell is breaking loose. A guy gets eaten near a Blockbuster, cuckoo, and it's the worst
T-Rex puffs
ADR sound I've ever heard in my entire life. And then Ian and Sarah catch up to the T-Rex at the 76 station, and it chases them down the street. Ludlow gives orders to shoot the adult and save the baby while Sarah and Ian run the baby back to the cargo ship. What's the plan here is kind of flawed, whatever. Then they jump. They put the baby in the little cargo thing, and they jump off the edge. Ludlow, who doesn't see any of this happening, just runs aboard to make sure that his investment is safe. And he goes down, and he sees, like, oh, little baby. And doesn't realize that, of course, the T-Rex, the sneakiest of all the dinosaurs, just creeping down the steps behind him, right? Mind you, every time it takes a step in the first movie, every piece of water fucking thuds. But this one's like, I'm ballet. Anyway, it goes down there, and man, it's just, this is a fucking, you want to talk about a banger of a death, Greg. It cripples, it bites his leg, right? Hobbling him, basically. And boy, this baby just goes. He's like, go ahead. And the baby just goes to town on him. And it is bad.
It is a satisfying movie moment, yeah, for sure.
Ian and Sarah run back aboard and close the cargo doors very, very slowly. And then there's one beat where it's like, is this sniper going to kill this thing? No. Sarah slow-mo darts it right in the fleshy part of its neck, and it goes, and just falls into the cargo container.
But what I always hated about that is that the cargo doors happen to lower as soon as it gets like kind of hit. Like, it wasn't holding the doors up by like, it just kind of like,
timing.
Oh,
this is perfect timing.
Oh, perfect. They had a guy like waiting at the switch. Like, I got this shit.
And then she looks back and like does like this, like, yeah. And Ian's like, yeah, good job. And the sniper's like, damn it, next time. And then we cut over to a couch, and Kelly's watching a news report on the ship as it's making its way back to Isla Sorna, while Sarah and Ian sleep on the couch next to her. And she sees an interview with John Hammond, who tells the world it's imperative to set up rules to leave these dinosaurs alone. If, quote, if we just step aside and trust in nature, life will find a way. Then,
and at that point, the police break down the door and arrest this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Why are you on TV? Your creations keep getting out and murdering people, and you did a cover-up.
Yep.
Right, but also, right here, this is where Ian Malcolm's shirt is open, right?
Yeah.
Might be a little bit.
But I'm telling you.
Were they born in labs? Now it's time to ring those labs.
Good night.
Whoa.
That's very jazzy.
Tim, you owe Carter Harrell money, okay?
Nick, get on that. Carter, find a way to make fun of Nick in your next audio.
You son of a bitch. Then we get one more bad CG shot of all the animals living in harmony together. The end. Let's make 10 more of these.
I hate that. It's like, why? The Stegosaurus is just cool with the T-Rexes. Been fucking. What? Come on.
Life finds a way in.
Come on. You
know? Come on. They're just kissing neighbors now? What's going on here?
Well, you know, Andy, if you've seen a watering hole, like in like sub-Saharan Africa, you'll know that the lions just love hanging out with the gazelles. They're usually like, when the cameras turn on, like, guys, it's our time, right?
And they expected a T-Rex to be like, hey, Harold, how's it going, man? Yeah. Like, doing great, dude. Sunny day. Got the kids' so baseball bad. Game
Got
earlier.
Got the kid out here. Show them lay of land. No deal.
And also, like, we have the vastness of the first movie when the first time they see all of the dinosaurs together. This is like a little fern gully where they're like, this is fine, guys. Just film it. Just shoot the plate. It's fine. It doesn't matter. God, terrible. It's over. Yeah. Ranking number two.
Andy, please hit haiku and review.
Seven syllables in the middle. You'll need five for the first and last line. Gotcha. If it's not poetic, no need to fret it. Haikus don't need to rhyme. Haiku in review. Haiku in review.
You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to write your review in haiku form, just like so many of you did. But first off, I want to give a very special shout out to a thing that I want to take full credit for. And I had nothing to do with.
Oh, wow.
Per usual here. Kebabs infamous Kind of Funny best friend. You know him from Kind of Funny Games and everything. Won a Jurassic Park poetry contest.
That's cool. That's nice. I saw this, but I was like half asleep when I saw this tweet. I thought I dreamt it.
Jurassic World Evolution, the video game, says April is National Poem Month, so let's mark the occasion with a small competition. We're giving away a Camp Cretaceous dinosaur pack key to the best Jurassic World Evolution 2 themed haiku you can come up with.
It's Cretaceous, by the way. Jesus Christ. That's good.
Yeah, you're right. I'm a big fan of them lobsters. You know what I mean? Kebabs wrote, "This science can give the illusion of control, but life finds a way." And that won him. That won him whatever the fuck Jurassic World Evolution's giving away. Right. So, you know, I think it's pretty cool that, so you know, cool. Haiku and Review is given back in some way, shape, or form. Mr. Pedro Rocks 01 writes in and says, "Life finds a way. Truer words never spoken. Five films and counting." Miscellaneous, of course, writes in with the plot in haiku. Hammond strikes again. Sends Malcolm into the den, trying to amend. Danger, she denies. They find stowaway surprise. Ingen fills the skies. Fancy camp got tossed. Otherwise, I'm kind of lost. Trip not worth the cost. It all goes to shit. They scream, cry, hide, run, and trip. Saved by gymnastics.
Oh,
to the aisle to stay while the theme song starts to play. Life. We'll find a way. Mm-hmm. Now, I do want to give a shout out to, of course, haikus, right? 575. This motherfucker, for the first time, I think, in history, and Kind of Funny, they scream, cry, hide, run, and trip. Seven words. Seven syllables.
That's
incredible. Wow. Yeah, holy
unheard
shit.
Of.
Wow.
Unheard of. Very damn cool. And Joe Mertens writes in and says, "Forget Hot Malcolm. It's Pete Postlewaite in shorts. Gasp and swoon. Right, Nick?" Let me get this straight. Vaughn's an eco-terrorist. That's really a thing? The boat makes no sense. Stay classy, San Diego. This final act sucks.
It does.
And then this is not a haiku, but I do want to read it here. B-Bull89 writes in and says, "Some trivia for you. About the Barbasol can in the mud. In the 2011 Telltale Jurassic Park game, the central MacGuffin is about chasing the can. You play as Dr. Gary Harding, the father of Julianne Moore's character from The Lost World. Nedry had two contacts at the boat that were to meet him, and when he didn't show, they go to find him in his can of dino DNA. Also, the game brings up the lysine deficiency. Another doctor put a cure to the lysine deficiency into the water supply of the island to keep the dinos alive."
Smart.
How was that game, Greg?
Oh, it was bad. It was bad. I can't remember if I played it or reviewed it, but I definitely did not enjoy it.
I played the one on PS1 where you just start off as a compy, and there was no save mechanic. I don't even think like you use a memory card. You
know, like Burger King?
It sucked so bad, dude. That game was terrible.
Oh, fuck, I reviewed it.
The PC, game, though.
The PC RTS one.
Oh, I never played that.
Tim, if you don't mind my review, I gave it a 5.5 mediocre, and my verdict reads like this. Like I said, I wanted Jurassic Park to be good, but just like John Hammond's dream of a dinosaur amusement park, it doesn't pan out. I wouldn't call Jurassic Park a bad game, as it works and does take us back to a time when dinosaurs stiffly roamed the earth. But the story animations and general gameplay keep it from being able to contend with most titles on the market, and that includes other Telltale titles.
Damn.
I had a now fucking time, gift, Andy.
And here you are now.
A decent one. Yeah.
Disgusting. Ragu Bagu.
Ragu. Bagu. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Rad Guys Talk Bad Guys here for Jurassic Park in review. Number one on the list, good old Nedry. Where do we want to put Ludlow and Roland?
Two, right? Two.
I don't feel like we have not great. Really discussed.
Yeah,
that was pretty easy. There you go. Ludlow and Roland from Jurassic Park, The Lost World to the Lygene consistency.
So, Greg, normally here we would go straight to the ratings, the rankings, all that stuff. But there is another podcast within a podcast that we have added for Jurassic Park, and it is called Dinosaurs, S-O-R-E-S, Dinosaurs, : Which death is the best?
This I like that. Was mine. That was my addition.
I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
So, Joey, can you please give us the pitch on what this podcast is about?
Yeah, it was just ranking the best dinosaur deaths. Honestly, I have like a little list of the ones that we have from this one. The ones that stood out to me personally was Snake Guy death.
Okay.
That was pretty good. The guy from whatchamacallit that got killed by all the little dinosaurs.
Armageddon. So Peter Stormare, say his name.
Yeah.
Stormare.
The little tiny child at the beginning. But Walter, I want to give a shout out specifically to the guy that Tim pointed out, which is whatever guy got stepped on by the T-Rex and then got stuck on his foot. I feel like he should also get a shout out. Sorry, there were no lamb legs for me to put on the list.
Unfortunate.
The way this is going to work is every movie we're going to choose the one moment and then we rank that one moment against the other movie. So currently the number one is from Jurassic Park 1, which is Nedry's death with the poison in the Jeep, all that stuff. So now we need to decide who is the number one death from this movie and then rank it.
It's got to be Homeboy getting ripped apart. I think it's Homie getting ripped apart.
Yeah, I would think so too, by the two T-Rexes, right? That was dope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that yeah, was brutal. I'm with that as well.
Because like you thought for a second maybe he'll live. Like I thought he is enough of a character to survive this.
Exactly. Yeah,
and they just didn't give him any hope.
And my, the reason I like it is the same reason I like the Nedry death, which is that it was built up so much. Like the tension was so long and there were so many ways it could have happened that you were like, oh, he might be okay. And then it wasn't. So I would give it to that as well.
I still don't think it's as good as Nedry, though. So I think it should be under him.
And I agree. Agree on that.
Nedry was a payoff both in story and performance.
So there we go. So number one, the Nedry death. Number two, dual T-Rex takedown of the faith.
I also hated how Pete Postlewaite went to go trank the T-Rex, right? But just stood out in the most middle of openings with no cover around him. Like he could have sat behind the log and just like popped it, stuck another one in, never been seen. But he just like, let me step in this center area with no trees around me so you could see.
It's like when we res people in Fortnite, we're like, there's all these trees that we could go behind, but no, let's just get stand in the middle of nowhere so we get sniped and all die.
Evan's always screaming, res me. Get it, we're gonna do it, Kev.
No, you're not. You walk away. You leave me all the time.
Yeah, we gritty,
you're gritty on the person, the other person.
This movie's number two.
Now it's time to rank the movies. Currently, number one is Jurassic Park. I feel like obviously The Lost World Jurassic Park is number two. Does anyone have anything else to add to that?
No.
No, exactly. It's a stupid movie.
Can we preemptively rank it lower?
I don't know if you want to do that.
That's my thing. I don't know that I'm ready to commit to that, Joey. And I'm not saying that I think it's going to be higher, but like going into this one, I had a feeling of like, look, it might be better than I remember it being. Like it might be one of those things that we hated on because it's not as good as the first, but it's not that bad. And I was wrong. It is that bad. It really is that bad. It's worse than I thought it was going to be. I'm going into three like, I remember semi enjoying three for what it was, which is a 7 out of 10. But at this point, I think I'm wrong.
Seven out of 10. No way.
Alan, wake up, Alan.
No future spoilers.
Alan.
Next week, Jurassic Park 3 is about to go down. It's going to be a good time because it is only an hour and 30 minutes. I can't wait for that. And pterodactyls, everybody. Anyways, I love you all. Goodbye.
Bye, Lophosaurus Rex.